Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode, I chat with Leo Frinku, former world champion wrestler and personal trainer to champions like Ronda Rousey, Romulo Baral, and Michaela Myers. One of my goals with this podcast is to not only build awareness around topics like breathwork, Ayurveda, yoga, and nutrition, but also to help you channel your inner warrior and your fighting spirit. And what better way to do that than to chat with a former world wrestling champion who was an immigrant from Romania, and he's got an amazing story of how he came to the US with less than $100. He's a great person, a great father, coach, and a leader in his community, and I'm also going to be conducting a breathwork session at his retreat in Carlsbad in May of this year. We had a great time chatting, and I intuitively sense that you, my friend, will love this session. Enjoy.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you calm your mind, relax your nervous system, and experience the bliss of being alive. Today's episode, we talk about some really amazing topics, including inner discipline, the importance of exercise, the importance of challenges and struggles and difficulties, and why you might be just one step away from changing your life, from transforming your life. So if you're excited about this episode and you'd like to support our efforts, then make sure you hit the subscribe button right now, because it does something to the algorithm that allows more people to get to know about our podcast. And that honestly is the single biggest thing that you can do for us today. So whether you're on your iPhone, hit subscribe. If you're on Spotify, hit follow. If you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Right. And before we actually begin, let's listen to our latest iTunes review by one of our listeners, Music God, who writes, "So grateful I found you." He says, "AJ, I can feel your beautiful soul by just listening to you. What a blessing for humanity you are. Thank you for all your content and your gifting to the world. Keep it up. People are listening. I am forever grateful to you, my friend." And my friend, I'm grateful to you for writing us this amazing review. So Action Tribe, if you'd like for me to read out your review as well, go to my7chakras.com/review, my7chakras.com/review, and write down what you think about our podcast. And with that being said, let's bring on our special guest for today, Leo Frinku. A former world champion wrestler, Leo Frinku has been training professionals and amateurs for over 15 years. For the past decade, he has owned Results Studio, a premier gym in Los Angeles, California, and he has had the privilege of training world champions Ronda Rousey, Romulo Baral, Michaela Myers, and Diana Prazak. Leo's coaching principles were taught to him by his coaches and his father. The principles took him to a world championship and beyond. And these are the same principles successful business leaders, writers, actors, singers, and dancers use. And they are the same principles people from all walks of life use to achieve a level of mastery that a well-lived life requires. So, welcome, Leo.
Well said, AJ. Well said. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you on. Super excited to begin our discussion. And like we always do, I'd like to begin from the start. Where did you grow up?
Are these glasses appropriate for your show? I know you're a very serious guy, very passionate about your craft. I just don't want to be inappropriate by wearing those glasses. Are these okay?
I mean, it's totally up to you. If you're comfortable with it, then let's vibe.
I have a different pair. I know maybe that will go better with your theme today.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think this will be more appropriate, you know, with it's all about love, acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. Thanks for having me, JJ.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And, you know, that's one of the other, you know, benefits of someone who is watching our live stream compared to listening to the audio is that they get to see the guests and myself and, you know, us having this discussion. So that's one added bonus. So people, if you're not on our YouTube channel, make sure that you come on YouTube and watch these sessions as they are streamed live. So Leo, my question is back to the very start. Where did you grow up as a kid and what was life like back then?
Well, I grew up in Romania. Back then it was a communist Romania. And, you know, looking back, you know, when I was in there, it was a very simple life. We basically were happy with what we had. Didn't know that we can have more. But looking back, I realized that we grew up with so many, I won't say deficiency, but so much less than kids nowadays live and grow up with. I mean, regardless, it was a beautiful childhood. I felt free, you know. Great things.
Amazing. Yeah, sometimes, especially in these days, you tend to miss the simplicity of those days, right? When we did not have these platforms and these notifications and this email, which sort of keeps us in a state of stress sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, we look back. I mean, I look back and I live moments. I really experience life, true experiences, and create a lot of memories. One time I told my former stepson, and I said, Thomas, you're always on your devices. What kind of stories are you going to tell your kids? You know, I mean, you got to the level 4 in this game, and what kind of story? You know what he said, Leo? I'll tell them your stories, because there's a lot of stories that come from a childhood filled with activities and living.
Mm. And so, how big is Greco-Roman wrestling in Romania?
Well, it used to be a very, very big sport in Romania. You know, we produce a lot of Olympic and world champions, especially back in the day. Sports in general, especially wrestling back in the day, you know, was not necessarily just wrestling. Was almost a gateway, maybe a chance for us to visit, to get away from the country, to travel a little bit. So wrestling meant a lot for people and kids like me back then than it is right now.
Right. And for people who are listening to the show, because some of the topics that we tend to talk a lot about are energy healing or maybe yoga and Ayurveda. And when somebody thinks about wrestling, what might come to their mind, albeit incorrectly, is WWE. How is Greco wrestling? How is it different from other types of wrestling or other practices that somebody might be more familiar with?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the WWE is scripted. I mean, we know already who's going to win.
Yeah.
It's more of a show, you know, use chairs, all kind of stunts.
Yeah.
Legales is a very challenging, you know, sport.
Yeah.
We can call it a sport. I mean, I don't want to upset any of the WWE athletes. But wrestling is completely different. It's the real deal. It's nobody knows who's going to win.
Yeah.
It's a different activity. Mm-hmm. Altogether, yeah.
And how did you, as a child or maybe as a young adult, get introduced to wrestling? What was that story?
Well, you know, growing up in Romania, you grow up with a lot of, you don't grow up with a lot, period. So there was a lot of me that needed to be expressed, and one of my neighbors saw me wrestling all other kids and being a little rowdy. So I said, oh, come on, I'll take you to the wrestling gym. You know, I think you might like it. He asked my parents if he can take me there one time. Mm-hmm. I was about 6.5 years old. And I remember that first day when I walked in that gym. You know, I'm a kid from the neighborhood. You know, I wasn't familiar with athleticism. We played soccer in the back of our building on a street corner. We kind of, you know, very active, but never organized stuff. You know, I was very young, 6.5. But when I walk in that room full of people, full of wrestlers, I look at them and I say, wow. Wow. I mean, I was fascinated not by the strength that mm-hmm. these athletes had. And I look at them and I say, one day I would just want to be like them. I just want to be strong like them, because I needed a lot of strength in whatever the family environment I grew up in to make it through the day, so to speak. Mm. So seeing those people, seeing those athletes so strong, so powerful, so independent, mm-hmm. I mean, I mostly fall in love with that feeling rather with the sport itself.
Interesting. So you fell in love with the strength of the individuals, yeah. as well as the independence. Talk to me more about the independence that you noticed in this, you know, league of individuals that you had seen for the first time.
Yes, yes. I fell in love with the idea what I could become. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, for me, my mother wasn't the most loving parent in the world. So I always look for that family environment. I was craving a role model, a mentor, mm-hmm. and I was like a kid in a candy store. I felt like I can follow any of those guys and they'll lead me in the right direction. Do you see what I'm saying? And I remember another thing that I remember, two of those wrestlers, they were talking about this upcoming trip in East Germany.
Okay.
Because back then you only can travel from communist to communist country. And they were talking about this travel and how they're going to go there and going to buy stuff that we didn't have and going to bring it back. And I was listening to their conversation. I was like, what do you mean that you guys can travel? I thought, so you can get away? You can escape this environment? I was, you know, we didn't have a lot, but deep down in my heart, I knew that there's a lot more out there mm-hmm. that's waiting for me.
Mm. Now, in certain martial arts, especially maybe karate or taekwondo, you have belts, right, that signify yeah. a level of hierarchy. Do you have that in wrestling as well?
No, we don't have in wrestling. Medals. Winning matches establish your rank in the wrestling. We don't have that. I can see how it's a bit motivating for yeah. someone, young athlete, to kind of keep going to get the next belt. In our sport, I think the only thing that motivates us is winning. Mm. Yeah, winning or you know, depends on how much fire you have, how much passion you have.
Interesting. And so when you got started, who was your mentor? Who was your trainer? Who was your role model? Maybe the first or maybe the first few.
Yeah. Well, my coach, my first coach was like the father, a father figure for me.
Okay.
I look up to him and I still do. He made a tremendous impact in my life. Mm. It was such a, although these people, they were the athletes, they were so strong and, you know, I would say rough, you know, in their games and their training. Mm-hmm. I look at this guy, my coach, and he was so nice and gentle. He said to me, why don't you sit down here and just look, just watch, just see if you like what you see. You don't have to do anything. Just stay there. Mm-hmm. And I was watching and it was I remember that day, and I, you know, when you watch movies and you see those kids being mesmerized and you can see how they fall in love with something. Right. I was that kid that I was. I look at that and it's like just capture me. Yeah.
Also, there's something to say about an individual who is physically strong, but at the same time demonstrates qualities of kindness and compassion, right? Because we think about sometimes, usually at least maybe in Hollywood, that a person is strong, is ferocious, is, you know, ill-mannered and rough and not good to people. But you over there saw somebody who was a leader, but at the same time was kind to you and was not forceful. Yeah. And he said, you know what, take your own time, watch it.
Yeah.
Step by step.
It was amazing because you said something about strength. You know, some people, if we really look at strength, I think compassion is a form of strength.
Right.
You know, kindness is strength.
Yeah.
Love is the ultimate strength. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, somebody look at somebody strong that just has muscles or cauliflower ears.
Yeah.
Or even some scars. All of a sudden, they think that, no, these people may be the strongest, the most compassionate, most empathetic and lovable people out there. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? So definitely do not let the appearances lead you in the wrong direction, because usually you can, like, you know how they say, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Very true. And so, you know, in your book, you also write that since kindergarten, since you were a kid, you had this dream about being free. And so, were you trying to escape something? I mean, what about life in Romania did you want to get away from? Was it communism? Was it something else?
You know, AJ, I grew up believing that I want to escape communism, right? But I look back, that life, I had a happy child. I mean, I could have used a little more love from my mother.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I have friends, I play freely outside. Really, really fortunate to live that life.
Yeah.
So growing up, I thought that I want to escape Romania for some reason. Mm. First, I want to just be out of the house because whatever the environment.
Yeah.
But later, as I got older, I really, truly realized what I was craving. Mm. You know, I thought I was craving freedom from communism, but I was craving love.
Mm.
You know, I wanted to be myself. I want to have the opportunity to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fat. It took a long time, very long time, and a lot of soul and emotional searching to finally get a glimpse of that guy.
Yeah, that's such a profound statement. I mean, I also can, you know, relate to instances in my own life where I wanted to, even though I loved my parents, I wanted to be away from them and maybe be in a new city, in a new country, experience some of that independence, have my own adventure, so to speak. And so on your journey, at some point, you defected to the USA, right? How did that happen?
Yeah, it was a crazy story. All the team, we were training for the 2000 Olympics.
Okay.
With the Olympic team. And we're supposed to come to the United States Colorado Springs Olympic Center to train with the USA Olympic team. We all got the visa. We had a date. Everything was scheduled. Like a week before our departure, the coach comes and told us that the trip was canceled because the sponsors who were supposed to pay for our trip did not get the visa. So they say, we're not paying for it. They want to come and visit, but since they couldn't get into the country, they withdraw their funds and say, we're not going to pay for it. And I was like, are you kidding me? I waited for this moment all my life. I mean, when I saw that visa, when I got the news that we're going to train to United States, to America, I thought that's it. I had a chance to stay in Israel. I traveled all over the world, in France, all over the Europe. But nothing happened until I got that visa, United States visa, when I said to myself, oh my God, I got to go there. I did not know why, I did not understand.
Yeah.
It was just this pull right here. Mm. And then it so happened to know one guy that lived in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I called, listen, I'm coming to America. I'm staying. I'm not coming back. But the guys, are you sure? Because, you know, that was kind of, I was a big deal athlete in Romania. I was one of the Olympic hopefuls. I was a former world champion. I was very up and coming wrestler. And he was surprised to hear that. But I said, no, I'm coming. So then I get the news that we're not traveling anymore. So somehow grab my passport. And I bought about $300 for the plane ticket. And I left. Mm. And I left. When I left, AJ, was one of these things that I said, this is it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was going to war or something. Not necessarily war. But I didn't know. I know that I'm leaving. I didn't know if I'm coming back ever. Because I knew one person. I'm going to a country that I've never been before. To a culture, to a language that I never spoke before. So, it was pretty interesting.
So you came to Los Angeles?
So my first, I arrived to LAX.
Okay.
And I had $10 in my pocket. That's it. So the guy that I'm supposed to stay at.
Yeah.
He was playing hide and seek with me, so he didn't really show up for a while. Imagine coming to a country that you know one person only,
yeah,
and he's not showing up to the airport to pick you up.
Yeah.
And forget that. Imagine going to a country and breaking all the bridges going back. So there's no way going back for me because before I left, I break all my bridges because I didn't want to give myself an opportunity to come back. Mm-hmm. So I say I will make it impossible for me to go back. So I did make it impossible. So I really cut everything because I didn't want. I thought, what if when I'm gonna be to the United States? What if I have a moment of weakness?
Yeah.
And then I come back. So I say I did not give me that chance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a mindset that you bring to everything that you do, burning the bridges if you want to embark on a new project so that you don't have that sense of weakness that would make you want to go back to how things were before?
Only if I think that activity or whatever that I was connected with and I want to leave behind, only if I thought that is something that is not helpful.
Yeah.
Or is that something that is holding me back. Then I have to break all the ties with it. But somehow I wanted to, I make it so hard for me to go back to that, whatever I'm trying to leave behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you come to America, the person who said he would meet you, he would help you, does not sort of show up.
But he did show up. He did show up, picked me up. We drove to his place and he says to me, by the way, in the meantime, I saw haircut $10,
yeah,
and I only had $10 in my pocket, and it was so expensive for me. And I said, "Oh my God, I probably never get a haircut in this country."
Yeah,
coming to a country that haircut for me $10 was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That stuck with me. Anyway, so in a way, there the guy's telling me, Leo, you're gonna see things that they're not really kind of legal here. So you're going to come into a world that whatever you see or whatever you're going to do, I don't want you to talk to anybody about it. Mm. So this is the advice I get in a way to wherever I'm going. To the only person that I put my life in his hands. Mm-hmm. He's telling me that, listen, Leo, I'm involved in some illegal activities, but just keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a journey, let me tell you.
So as a newcomer to the USA, you don't know a lot of people over here. What was your process like to, in a way, establish yourself and at least be able to afford a haircut or something more than that? What was your game plan, so to speak? How did you come about that? How did you figure it out?
First thing I said, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, what is the next one that I need? And to, I didn't look like 20 years from there. I didn't know. I said, what do I need now? First thing that I need, I need an income, or I need to make some money somehow. And boom, I make some money. Then, so everything that I do is I set a goal that sometimes I don't even know what that goal is. I know that eventually I'll discover or it will unfold, but I set a goal and then I'm starting with next step that I need to take in order to move forward towards that goal. So I figure like, let me get a job. I got a job. I made $4 an hour as a dishwasher. That was a trip because I come from a world champion wrestler training for the Olympics. Never had a job in my life. Always, I wasn't the nicest person either. I was treating people like shit because I thought I'm better than them, you know, whether the waiters or this and that. And I'm coming from that status and that ego. Within 2 months, I was in a kitchen in Hollywood washing dishes with a big rubber girl. That was a trip, let me tell you. That was not easy for me to suck it up and stay there and wash those dishes, and they will keep coming. Tell me, there were a lot of dishes.
So as you look back, what did that job or that experience do for your character?
You know, we all, he made me who I am. I mean, anything that I went through, whether it was, you know, whether it was, is a divorce or whether it is, an accident or, things that happened that I didn't rather want it to happen. I look back and I'm thankful that everything happened the way it did. From growing up with an emotional, unavailable mother to a communist country that was forbidding you to talk about freedom, express yourself and be yourself. I mean, everything together make us who we are. The problem, what I realized with all this, with most, because I kind of work in a self-improvement / fitness industry, you know, people, they try to disassociate themselves with the past in terms like things that they didn't think that they supposed to happen, or whether it's like, I mean, God forbid nobody wants to have been abused or, but sometimes all this tragedy and I would say negative things that happen to us are the ones that makes us stronger and winners and who we are. So I look back and I look at all that, everything that I went through. I never look at myself like, poor me, what am I going through? I'm like, okay, I am where I am. Now I need, what I need to do to get next step higher, and the next step, and the next step. So it was an amazing journey, I gotta tell. I will not change anything.
Yeah, I think it's a good moment for all of our listeners to take a moment or take a pause and look back at their own life and notice all the experiences that they had to go through in order to come to where they are right now, which is listening to this podcast episode. Whether it was a high in your life, you got a new job, you know, got married, had children, or maybe it was a low, you know, you got divorced maybe, or maybe you lost a job or your business went bankrupt. Whatever it is, like you're pointing out to, every experience plays a role that helps you build your character, build your life. And if you look back, don't disown certain aspects of your life, because everything forms the whole, and you can rewrite your story. You can look at those same incidences, those experiences, and tell a different story that empowers you. And I think that's very powerful. So thanks a lot for sharing that. And
absolutely.
Leo, what role does martial arts, any type of martial arts, maybe wrestling or some other type of martial arts, what role does it play in a person's development? How does it help?
I think any sport, especially, but it, more like in the, it's first of all, it's an individual sport. So you are there on a mat on your own versus the other guy, and you don't have anything but your bare hands.
Okay.
And it's something primitive about this. I mean, it's like, right. uh, it's It can't get more raw than that. So that just, I was scared. I was so scared. I wrestled out of fear my whole life. And I realized that I was scared most of my life, scared of my mother coming home. Then I was scared of getting pain or scared of my opponents in wrestling. So I now have, you know, thousands and thousands of hours on the mat. I was scared of that. So I realized that, you know, fear, it's something about fear that the more you put yourself and look fear in the eye, I think the less effect fear will have on you. You will keep fear is never goes away. Everybody experiences the same feeling, same fear. It's just not, they're not as affected as equally, like as anybody, like as everybody else. So I think martial arts and any sport, because it's the level, but the wrestling itself is just such a pure and I will not say barbaric, but like a primal sport.
Yeah.
That it just, you have to grow up, you have to own it, and you have to react, you have to perform. Although the fear never goes away, up until the moment you step on a mat and everything else, you realize that it's gone and it's time for you to throw it down.
This episode is brought to you by me, AJ, because I'm offering you a free Breathwork Foundations course. If you've been interested in exploring breathwork and learning about the why behind breathwork, including the science and evidence that makes this ancient practice so amazing, then you got to check out this course. You will discover how to correct your breathing, how to boost your immunity and protect yourself from pathogens and bacteria, what the ancients told us about breath, how to lose weight using breathwork, how to improve sleep, digestion, and mental clarity using a simple breathing technique. So come enroll in this free course and learn the basics of breathwork by going to my7chakras.com/free-breathwork-course. That's my7chakras.com/free-breathwork-course. Once again, that's my7chakras.com/free-breathwork-course. Yeah, I like that you say the fear never goes away. You're still afraid, but then you go beyond that fear every time you step on the mat. And, you know, I don't do any martial art, although I've been thinking a lot about it. Maybe some wrestling, maybe some jiu-jitsu. Because, you know, like you've mentioned, it doesn't get closer than that, right? Especially if it's another man breathing down your throat or holding onto your jacket and pushing you down. Right? It can feel intimidating. It can feel like literally, right?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I would say it's not for everybody because there's a lot of people do it, but that's every time you got to overcome some sort of obstacle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, every time you go on a mat, there's a new guy, you look at his arms. Every time there's something else that you're like, oh my God, this guy is going to beat the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But you have to, you know, you tell yourself, this is the voices that we have in our head. They fucking tell us all the time, you're going to get But then you just have to get over that. You just have, over and over again, get over those fears, get over those voices, and step into that unknown.
Right.
That's what I think. That's what it's not as obviously the idea of getting hurt is also a voice in your head that's telling you that
that's
really happens. Yeah. So it's like ultimately it's we tell ourselves a story, but if you get over that story that you tell yourself,
right?
Because you tell yourself a story about everything, but if you think about it, everything is just a story. If you get over that story, I mean, there's a whole lot of world, life beyond that story. That but behind your script, it's a whole life that's waiting to be discovered.
I love that line. Beyond, can you say that again?
Beyond your script.
Beyond your script.
You write a script. It's a whole life that's waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, that's very true. And I can imagine, like, if you have a practice of engaging in a martial art and you do it from time to time and you develop this brotherhood or this sisterhood or this group that people that you meet from time to time, other challenges, other obstacles in your life will be different, right? Because you're like, at the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, we got, all of us, we travel together, we live together in a hotel, and I mean, it was a family, it was a bond. Their bonds were created and it still exists, like a brotherhood. We all spread all over the world.
Yeah.
But we have that connection. Not necessarily that we went through like parties and we did a lot of parties and fun times, but we also went through some dark times together.
Right.
Whether it was somebody losses, you lose a match, we all lose a match. I lost a lot of matches. And at some point, one of us will lose a match and then we got each other's back. We motivated, we supported each other. And in that moment of low, that connected us a lot more than the happy times and the partying and the drinking and all that.
The lows connected you more than the highs. That is an interesting thing to do, because I could see also in a family or maybe in a community, when somebody, especially the people are close together, if somebody is experiencing a challenge, a difficulty, a turmoil, that's actually a bonding moment where people have an opportunity, especially if the relationship was sour before, or maybe they didn't take efforts to really connect. Now that the person is going through that challenge, it's something about the human condition that makes you feel empathy, that makes you connect with the other person. And if you go through it, if you overcome it, your relationship is taken to the whole different level, right?
100%, AJ, you nailed it. I mean, think about it. When you're low, that's when you need someone the most.
Yeah.
So when you're low and somebody's there for you, that's where the bond gets created. That's right there. Mm-hmm. Not when you need a beer and somebody hand it to you. You don't even look. It's just you see the beer and you don't even care who give it to you as long as the beer's there. You see what I'm saying? So the low is.
Yeah. And so also as a wrestler in the early days, you write that you never had a good relationship with food. And you were from time to time critical about your body, right? So talk to me about, that phase in your life.
It's very interesting you said. I know I lost, and I'm going to say it twice. I lost over 1,000 pounds in my wrestling career. So 1,000 pounds. So somebody tells me, how do you know what it is to have weight problems? You look at you the way you look good. They don't realize that I was a living yo-yo.
Yeah,
a walking yo-yo, and I have a very poor relationship with food. I was called a fatty. I was the fattiest of the team because I had the most amount of weight to lose and cut for the competitions. For those who don't know, wrestling are structured in weight classes.
Right.
So you are, as me, I usually drop some weight to go to a lower weight class, because if I wrestle the way I walk, my normal weight, some guy from up there will cut 20 pounds in a bigger frame, and it will be bigger guy, bigger size. So it's always a thing that you have to cut to the lower class so you can get matched with the guy your size. So I was very, very critical. I was name called. I was having my special table where it was called the fat table, where you only get a glass of water. I mean, it was traumatizing for most.
So that
stuck with me for a while. That was the weight cuts that I used to do and perform was the main reason I come to the United States, because I couldn't. It was too much in the body. Because it was horrendous what I put myself through it. So not until later in my 30s, early 30s, then I started looking at food with a different eyes.
Mm-hmm. So what changed then compared to before? Was it that you were an athlete and you had to sort of cut your weight because of the match, that changed?
I look at anything that I struggle with. My goal is I want to go beyond that. I want to put it behind. It's like whether it's struggle with food, struggle with I see things, all that. I look at it as my struggles. Even if I struggle with somebody or a relationship,
yeah,
it's my problem. You know, So that was just one of them. I didn't want to look at food. I didn't want to feel bad about food. I want to love what I eat.
Yeah.
And I thought, how can I change the way I look at food? I want instead to eat because I have to.
Yeah.
I want to eat because I love to. Mm-hmm. So I started learning more about food and realized that hunger is not not my enemy. Rather than just my body communicating with me, accepting that sometimes I'm hungry and I don't have to do anything about it. I don't have to panic. I'm just quietly accept the fact that that's just the state of the body and it's temporarily. And then I love to feel good and look good, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, if I don't look good and I don't feel good, that's another struggle. And I don't want to struggle, AJ. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Food can be such an emotionally charged subject.
It is. But you see, AJ, I look at anything. I mean, it's a challenge. And my goal is I want to overcome that. Why do I want to live with something that I have to wrestle? And that becomes my number one priority that I think about every day. I'm focusing. I'm trying to see, analyze it, and try to overcome every single, whatever that is, whether it's a credit card debt, whether it's like, a body image that I struggle with, whether it's a relationship that is not going the right. Why would I give everything? Then all this take becomes priorities in my life.
Right.
And I'll give them as every single day a certain amount of attention and time. And if, as time goes by, there goes a lot of resource in those struggles and eventually you go away.
Yeah, I wanted to dig a bit deeper into this. Like when you personally experience a major obstacle or challenge, what is your process of thinking through it? Are you doing some journaling? Are you setting aside time on your calendar? Are you just introspecting about it? Or like how are you navigating through that? Because I think that's a lot. That perspective will be very useful for a lot of people right now who are listening to this podcast, who are going through some challenge or the other. And sometimes just to understand how to think through it can make, you know, the world of a difference.
A big difference. First of all, I have to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
First thing is acknowledging that that is a problem. Acknowledging. Once you acknowledge that there's a problem, that I say, okay, whatever that is, whether it's my food, relationship with food, and I figure out, okay, how do I approach this? Mm-hmm. What's the most efficient way? I'm looking at ways to approach it. You know, first I study it. Why is this happening to me? Why do I look at that way? Mm-hmm. And I'm not spending too much time on why, but sometimes people think that thinking about the reason why will fix it. That's not going to fix it. You have to pass beyond that. So I understand why. And sometimes if I don't understand why am I looking at something like food and I'm okay, that's, I'm not going to just dwell, okay, understand, maybe it's not coming to me right now. How am I going to approach this? What are the steps that I'm going to, whether it's a credit card debt, whether it's like finding a job right now, finding a partner. Even those steps, if those steps are something that whether I'm not comfortable taking them or I'm not used to it, that's irrelevant because at this point, when I make a decision, when I see that as a problem, regardless, it doesn't matter how I feel about those steps anymore. Like for example, if I'm overweight and I need to lose weight, and I say, you got to wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock and go for a run, most people will expect them to want to do that. Mm-hmm. So they right there is a failed expectation because you're not going to want to do that, nor you should care whether you like it or not. What? Mm-hmm. That's not the problem. The thing is, we're not talking about how you feel about the step. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, I acknowledge the problem and then what are the steps? And the first step, immediate step, for example, on a credit card, I got to stop spending.
Yeah.
Done. Stop spending money. First step on a weight loss that you want to feel better. Okay, immediate first next meal is like, okay, I'm going to start eating better. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to feel like it, but that's relevant. So I establish, I acknowledge it, set up a step system, and I start with the first step. What can I do right now? And I always, once I pass the first step, I go to the next step. What's the next step? And then the next step. And then all of a sudden, you go a long way. Mm-hmm. And resting, when I start, first I tell you a story. When I start resting,
yeah.
First thing, I just learned one move, right? And I learned one move. Okay, so then I want to see if I can beat that guy, and I beat that guy. And then, well, maybe I want to be the best in those guys. Then, and so as I check more, check all those steps, the new one will come. And at one point, I wanted to be a world champion. Yep. It was just the next one to come. I never thought about world champion, being a world champion. It was just next step. That would, whatever I was, the next one would be a world champion. Right. And that's why I approach everything. Okay, what's the first step? I got this. And if I see that the first step, I do it, it doesn't lead me in the right direction.
Yeah.
I reassess, I go in the different direction. So, you know, but regardless how I feel about those steps, I'm going to take those steps. Hmm.
Yeah, I like this approach a lot that you shared, because first you decide what needs to be solved or what challenge, right? Acknowledging that there's a problem that needs to be solved, which I think is a important thing to do. A lot of people avoid or, you know, bypass that issue that needs resolving. So that first step is amazing. But what I also like is that you're not going straight away to taking action. You're not trying to solve the issue straight away. You're spending some time to observe.
Observe. So what's exactly what's happening? How? Why this? Then why do we go? What's the strategy here?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to jump in though, because most likely you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah. And also, apart from jumping straight into the problem, when you observe, you're sort of noticing the emotions that might be coming through you when you just think about that problem in your life, because all the problems absolutely. Tend to be very emotional. And if you're able to observe it without any judgment, without trying to solve the issue, sometimes a lot of the problem might be solved then and there. But then also I like that you take some form of action at that point. And this reminds me of what Tony Robbins often shares, right? Like, don't leave the sight of any goal setting without some form of small action, because that'll build the momentum for you to solve the problem eventually.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and it's good to take small actions, because there's more chances of you actually accomplishing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so once you retired as an athlete, you say that it was harder for someone like you to make good food choices and to stay fit than it was for a normal person who had never exercised before. So tell me about that.
Oh, AJ, you see, most people don't know what athletes actually are going through after retirement. I was one of the, imagine, I started wrestling, I was 6 years old, 6, 7.
Sure.
Okay, I got better, but like around 10. Then by 10, by the time I was 10 years old, mm-hmm. I already had a schedule set for me.
Right.
Like schedule. Now, by the time I was 14, when I placed fourth in the world at the world championships, then I have more of a skill. Now I have the teachers come and teach me in this private thing, only for athletes. Then I had, and as I the better I got at my sport, the more people made decisions for me.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So now I'm 23 years old. That everything was thought for me, whether what do I eat, where do I stay, what do I wear, where do I go. And this is from January to December. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, AJ, you're on your own. Like, I was like, I don't know how to even make a phone call. Like, everything was done for me.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult. So that including food, being in a training camp, you have all this healthy food established for you and set, and I have my special table that I have very little food. And for me, food, it was a way of escaping, getting back to this establishment, to my, whether it's the wrestling community, the my weight class, the road that I choose, the weight class, and all that stuff. So I used to eat a lot of junk food, a lot of ice creams, a lot of drinking. It was very unhealthy. So coming back to it, like, it's very difficult to kind of understand that there's all my choices. I need to make those choices for myself. Mm-hmm. It was a very tough journey.
So it seems like the journey that a soldier goes through when they come out of the army, right?
Yeah.
Because before, it's all about structure, regimen, wake up at a certain time, have certain food, meat. So it seems like the discipline was from out towards in. The system designed your discipline. Whereas when you came out of it, you had to find a way to build that inner discipline from inside rather than from outside.
Yeah, it was like I said, baby step. It was a fascinating world, you know, because I got out of the Olympic Center, ride in a plane, and ride in L.A.
Yeah.
And that was my first interaction with the civilian world.
Yeah.
With the non-athletes community, non-athlete community. And it was fascinating. And I didn't know that people cannot do push-ups, you know. I didn't think that... Most of my friends were fit athletes, some sort of, it was very interesting. And another thing that I saw, the how the people's food choices were.
Mm.
You see, growing up in an Olympic Center, AJ, especially having to lose all that weight over and over again, and growing up with my controlling mother, I realized that everything that I do will affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Like, for example, if I took a bite off of this apple, I know how it's going to affect me the next day at the weigh-in, when the doctor's going to weigh us in every morning. So I knew, I was aware of everything, whether I sleep, whether I take a bite of the apple, whether I leave. At one point, everything that I did, I knew what is the effect of that. So I was not only aware what I'm doing, but also the three steps ahead. Well, how is that going to affect me the next day?
Yeah.
And then one thing that I was realized, people here do not think and live like that. They don't think about the consequences of their action. And I was just very surprised to see that. People just make decisions and choices without thinking how that those choices are going to affect them.
I still struggle
with that, understanding how can somebody make a choice, whether a choice of food and a choice of activity or hobby,
mm-hmm.
without caring about how is that going to affect them tomorrow, how are the consequences. It's fascinating. Mm.
And so these days, how do you personally physically challenge yourself and keep yourself alert and sharp? Because, you know, from time to time I see, you know, your workouts, and you've got these creative workouts that you do. But for someone who's, you know, hearing of you for the first time, how do you keep yourself alert and energized, so to speak, on a daily basis?
Well, yeah, I mean, sleep is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my schedule, like sleep schedule, is like my daughter's, you know. If I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I need 7 hours of sleep. So if I sleep by 10, that's 7 hours. If I wake up at 4, I have to go to bed by 9. And that's there's no question about that. Mm-hmm. I will follow exceptions to the rule, but very few. If the wake up time is later, I can stay up later. So that's very important. Sleep is very important. I really take that very seriously. Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what happened. You see, AJ, and most people, whether people come to the gym and they don't really realize how important is that recovery. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's no doubt that whether you and I and people that they come to the gym and train with me, there's no doubt that these people want to give everything they got. Uh-huh. I know you're here to give your best. But one thing I know they're not having in sight where they taking a break. Where is the lows? Because everything has highs and lows. They're not hitting the lows and the highs are getting lower. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? So what happened with exercise and with everything? If you don't hit the lows, your highs are getting lower because you're running out of resources. So then you might think you're going 100 miles an hour and you are so performant and so productive, but in fact, you're going 60. But there's no way you can understand and see that because you're giving your best.
Right.
But your best is going down. So your performance, your results. Mm-hmm. So the lower you hit those lows, always the performance will stay up there. So rest is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I'm trying to get better and better quality sleep. That's one of my areas of improvement. And one thing I do is I put a tape on my mouth. I'm not sure if you do it or you've heard about it. But that really, enhances the quality of my sleep because it encourages me to sleep, breathe in and out through my nose at night. And it allows me to, be more in a parasympathetic state, so really relaxed, but also get the benefit of the nitric oxide when I'm sleeping because I've got a deviated septum. So that sometimes triggers mouth breathing. But that's really helped me.
It's great. I never heard that. There's a nasal strip that I
put. Oh, you do that? Okay.
So what happened? It pulls my nose and increases my pathway.
Interesting.
That I can, because I sleep through my nose. I can breathe. I breathe through my nose, not through my mouth.
Okay.
So I feel always I need to have a clear nose. And the more air I can take in, I realize the better I sleep.
No, that's great. Thanks a lot for sharing. And one of the other things you've mentioned is that if we don't regularly work on our bodies, where our courage, strength, and skills live, we might talk a big game, but subconsciously we don't really expect or believe that we can accomplish our goals. So tell me more about this. Are the two things connected? Because many of our listeners are visionaries, creatives who have got big goals, visions for themselves that they'd like to manifest or bring to life. So how are the two connected?
Yeah, I mean, your body, it's your temple. There's a reason for that. I mean, like, imagine fear, doubt, it's all in your head. It's all the voices. They don't live in your body.
Yeah.
But the more you get familiar with your body, the more you care, take care of your body, it will give you more. I mean, you see, your brain always has a lot. As you grow older, you have all this time, or as the years go by, your brain collects a lot of data in terms of the things that you're not good at. They will tear you apart.
Yeah.
So, and you have to stay ahead of your head, and by working with your body, by developing that relationship with your body, that you trust your body, you believe in your body, you've doing things with your body that most people don't, or that you haven't done before. Mm-hmm. What I've been doing, and you know that your lifestyle is definitely much elevated and more active than rest. I mean, they give you that confidence. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, when you're under the pressure, when things are happening fast, you either find refuge in your head or in your body. The most time with, that's exactly where you're going. If you spend your time in your head, you're going to go right there.
Yeah.
If you stay more body in your body with your courage, faith, everything lives, your heart is, that's exactly where you're going.
So it allows you to be more grounded and more centered.
More grounded, centered. You breathe. There's no way that when you go in a room, let's assume you go in a room where pretty much everybody has the same status. Obviously, if you go in a room and you know that the guy next to you makes the five times the money that you make, there's all of it, you have an inferiority complex. Maybe you don't even realize, but this, you know, that guy's and that chapter is better than you.
Yeah.
But if you go in a room, if you in that situation, or you go in a room with people that you have the same status, the only thing that will differentiate you from the rest of the people is what are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your body? What are you doing? What kind of life are you living? Do you live a life full of excitement? Or what kind of life? Who are you? What do you do with your time? What do you do with your life? You know, and that's what's going to set you apart. That's going to give you that confidence to step up and look people in the eyes and maybe take the lead. But if you're in a room and you got nothing to show for, you're very sedentary, you're not in love with your body. AJ, you got to be in love with your body, man. I mean, imagine that. We all want our people to look at us, to love us, to care for us. But we're not doing that for ourselves. How hypocritical that is.
That's
you
true.
Want everybody else... when everybody else to take care of you, to look at you, to love you, but you're not doing that, what do you think is going to happen?
Right. That's actually a great moment of truth, right? It's like you want people to, you know, respect you and, you know, give that aha when they look at you. But if you don't love your own self.
But you're not interested in yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, I told somebody, I want you to go home right now.
Yeah.
And I want you to get dressed, and all of the listeners.
Yeah.
And while you're doing this, I try to understand how you feel.
Yeah.
But I want you take one night when you're by yourself, obviously with somebody else, that's a different story. But by yourself, I want you to take yourself out, but not out to a restaurant. I want you to have a date with yourself. You actually are going to cook your favorite meal.
Yeah.
You put your favorite clothes and have a date with yourself.
Yeah,
and sit at the table as if somebody else will do this for you,
right?
And have that date with yourself, and enjoy your company, your own company. But you're not 99.9% of people will not do that. They think that's stupid, silly.
Yeah,
they will not do that for themselves. But yet they expect other people to put time, cook, get dressed. All right, ain't happening.
That's so true, you know, man. You know, in myself, before I do these interviews, I always put some cologne or perfume. I know I'm not meeting somebody in person, but I just feel different, right? I feel more confident. I feel good about myself. And I know that I'm going to show up in a different way when I do my affirmations, when I do my visualization. You know, and sometimes, especially when I started my podcast, I used to feel intimidated with my guests a lot because I'm interviewing like these top authors, right? Big performers, right? Leaders and stuff like that. And I was like, who am I? But then I started doing my affirmations and visualizations and visualizing that I'm not the one who's asking the question, but the universe is working through me. So it took off the pressure a little bit from me. And I think that helped. So these small things make a difference. And I love the suggestion that you gave is date yourself. Right.
You gotta take yourself out for take yourself out. It's easy to go out and but you have to be present. You have to listen to your breath and enjoy and think good thoughts about you. Like how wonderful you, what a nice dinner you cook for yourself. What a nice pants you're wearing. How good you smell. I mean, all that fucking. You gotta do all that as if you are in a date with yourself. And if you can't do that, do not expect somebody else to do it because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So don't call it silly, but you have to, AJ, you have to put something. If yourself is as important as anybody else, but you have to put time, effort, love, everything in you. And not chopping doesn't do. You have to put time, like spend time, skill, cut vegetables. I don't care. Wash your clothes, but I don't care. You do something for yourself. Not money. Money is not the same. You have to actually put time and effort. Yeah, it's tricky, AJ. It's tricky. I coach so many people, and what I have them do, they look at me like, but it makes sense. Everything makes sense. And when I explain the way I do here,
right,
and I tell this, you what do you expect? And then all of a sudden, you cannot do that. So it's like treat yourself in the real way, the way you want others to treat you. So, which means cook yourself a meal.
Yeah. Love that recommendation. And I'm sure with all that's happening around the world and dining is getting closed, you might have to cook for yourself at your own home. But it's a great idea, you know, candlelight, clean your house, switch on the essential oils, right? Bring stuff home.
Absolutely.
I love that. So Action Tribe, make sure that you try this out. Set a date for yourself, by yourself, enjoy the company of yourself. Now, Leo, when it comes to achieving your goals, what role does visualization play for you? Do you do a lot of visualization of your goal, feel as if you're already there, sense it, know it, and then you find that, you know, you've manifested that goal? How's your thought process like?
That's 100% accurate. But don't let that fool you, because there's two types of the things I felt.
Yeah.
When I won every world and gold medal, the world championship and gold medal that I won, I felt that was mine.
Okay.
I knew it. It's mine. I got it. It's just a matter of time to get there. It's a feeling like it. You can't explain. You know. It's
right.
it's you feel it right here. Again, not here. It's here.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know. Especially lately, and with career path, with future, as you get older, sometimes you know, things get tricky, and you don't really see it. And whether, and again, actively trying to look for it, you know.
Yeah.
Again, you just don't expect to just pop in your lap, but just act. So sometimes you don't see it. You just don't see it.
Yeah.
But don't let that get discourage you. So you start going. Take some initiative, like for example, you are bored. You know, pick a guitar. See, maybe you like to play guitar. Maybe you like to learn. You're not gonna know until you do it. Some
right.
things. So yes, visualization is great, and it's almost you feel it rather than see it. You know, because first you feel it in your heart, and then it's kind of project, and you kind of. But it's a feeling, and I feel it. If it's right,
yeah,
it's gonna happen. But sometimes if you don't feel anything and you get antsy, you start doing stuff.
Love that. And so, you know, you've alluded to this also, but you work with elite athletes, champions, right? And people that have a high expectation of themselves. What sets them apart? How do they approach their practice or their work differently compared to the rest?
Yeah, well, they have a goal, man. I love working with athletes because it's a lot of pressure between their performance and their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come and say, I want to do this, I want to accomplish this. And trust me, everybody's got a big goals.
Yeah.
So, and I hold their goal as a threshold and push them against that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to perform because without realizing this, the higher the goal you were set for yourself, the better the performance you got to put up. So most people just throw things away. I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to do this. I want to realize what that goal requires of you.
Mm-hmm.
So when the athletes come and with those crazy goals or just goals, then I use that as a mirror, and I push them closer to that mirror. And sometimes some people, they can't stand. They break. I mean, I wish I can do that with all the clients, but no, I can't. It's a very powerful tool.
Interesting. I love that you mentioned that first the person needs to have a goal. The larger the goal, the more the work that needs to be done. You know, mindset as well as the actual steps that need to be taken.
Yeah.
And sometimes people break, but...
But AJ, you know, when I say something, you say something, mind steps,
yeah.
mind, and then versus the steps that need to be taken.
Right.
You guys, they people need to understand nothing is really, and this is very, just pay attention, nothing is really hard. You know, it's that the whatever you, the goal demands of you, you're not willing to give. Mm-hmm. You're just not willing to give. Mm-hmm. It's not that the goal is hard. You're just not willing to give that. So when you set a goal,
yeah,
just give. Give to that goal. Whatever that goal requires of you, just give it.
Mm.
And that's how it works. If you resist, the reason you're not moving forward is because you resist. You're mm-hmm. not giving. It's all about giving. You see what I'm saying? So it's like give part of your, let go of part of yourself. That's what you give. You give yourself.
Yeah.
You give that part. Let it go.
Yeah.
Like I said, people are so nice to their fat, you know, but you got to be very, you don't need, fat is not your friend.
Yeah.
So don't be so gentle. Don't be so nice. Okay. I'm not saying to say mean things about it, but let it go.
Yeah.
You're holding on. You like it. Let it go. Don't hold it. Let it go. We'll go away. Trust me.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it feels as if when you set a goal and you're really serious about it, the goal takes a life of its own and it requires things from you. And sometimes
from
that
you.
Could be, you know, fat. Sometimes that could be sacrifices,
could be,
right?
Could be waking up early.
Waking up early, right?
Could be eating less. Could be eating better. Could be a lot of things.
Yeah,
you just have to give.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. It's fascinating. My gym is like a lab. I mean, it's so much behavior, but it all comes down to just folks. You know, we've always feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it always likes to get involved with our feelings, you know. But most times, we kind of mix up that. You know, there's times when you listen to your feelings and acknowledge your feelings and entertain your feelings. But there's times when your feelings then don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say your feelings, I mean, if you have a goal and you want to wake up in the morning to run or to eat better. Oh, I don't feel like, who cares how you feel?
Yeah.
Don't be so involved in your feelings so much.
Yeah.
Just get up. Don't dwell on how you feel. You're going to feel it anyways. Just get to your things.
Yeah.
The feeling's going to stay with you, but it's going to leave. But just always pay attention and invest time and effort in the feelings that you want to keep around.
Yeah. That's very true, because the feelings are going to be there anyway, right? Either you're going to feel right now and you don't do what you said you would do, or you do what you said you would do. Maybe that's waking up in the morning or not having that cookie. But then once you do exactly what you said you would do, you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, it's just the exercise.
Yeah.
Like, it's, oh my God, I'm going to wake up at 5. You're going to get that a little anxiety, a little, oh my God, what are we, oh my God, just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And just, don't entertain it.
Mm.
Don't entertain, oh my God, okay, take a deep breath, read a book. It's going to, the voice is going to leave you alone at some point. Don't just start communicating back and forth, because the voice is not you, by the way. It's just a voice.
Love that. We've got Coach Leo, who is, you know, sort of motivating all of us, especially people listening to this episode right now. Think about what is that goal you have for this year or for the rest of this year. And, you know, just pick the goal. And based on what we've shared so far, make sure that you take just one step towards your new life, your new direction. And Leo, you've hosted, you've organized an amazing retreat called Breakthrough 2021 that is coming up next month, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us a bit about this.
It's going to be amazing. May 13, 15 in Carlsbad, California. Come join us for 3 days of world champions, Olympians, world class coaches and wellness experts. It's a phenomenon. I got the best in the industry under one roof. You know, I live in Olympic centers and camps, and I live with all those fellow athletes and professional coaches and trainers. And that's powerful, man. You get all these guys that want you leave that. That's going to change your life. You know, events like this can change your life. But again, you got to stop listening to your script and get over your shit and do something. Extraordinary people live extraordinary lives. You gotta do something different. Stop listening to those lies. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have blah. Oh, you know what? Let somebody else. Life is meant to be lived. If you see something that's holding you back, do something that you haven't done before. Get out of your comfort zone. Do something. Take a chance. You might meet some new people. You might actually experience in life.
So Breakthrough 2021, we'll have the link up in the show notes, but it promises to be an amazing event, 13th to 15th May.
Yeah.
I'm also going to be performing, so I'm going to be hosting and conducting a breathwork awakening journey, and I wish I could be coming in person, but unfortunately, I'm awaiting my Canadian citizenship, and so in the meantime, I'm not able to travel, and especially because of this whole corona thing that's happening, it's restricted travel
AJ,
for sure.
We're going to make it the way that you're going to look like you are actually there. So
yes, exactly.
I'm so excited for that.
Really excited.
That class, AJ. I am going to be part of the audience. You know, I'm not going to miss that opportunity.
For sure. I have designed a shamanic journey so that, we have our intentions. We have what we are visualizing, and we go into a deep state where we are able to connect with our higher self. We're also able to let go of any emotion stuck blockages and energies that are no longer serving us, so that once we awaken, we feel refreshed, we feel reborn.
Oh my God.
So looking forward to that. And we'll have the link up in the show notes. So especially for people who are in the USA, in California, you got to make this event because it promises to be amazing. So Leo, what is that one legacy that you hope to leave in this world?
If it's my wish, I wanna be the example how you should live your life. Like, this is how you live.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I live. And life, a life worth living, it is not always filled with only with successes and winnings and gain. It's both, embracing both. And I hoped and wished to set an example for my daughters, first of all, and for the people that I work with, and just, you know, live your life. Don't waste. Don't wait.
Wonderful. I know for a fact that you set an amazing example for your daughters as a father, and I love watching your feed on Instagram.
Really, thank you so much.
Really endearing, and you know, I look forward to being a father like you when the time comes. But Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's session so far. What we're finding out is that each one of us is going through some or the other challenges or obstacles in our life. And because we have these challenges in our lives, sometimes we need to rebuild ourselves from the ground up and challenge that inner warrior that I know is deep down within you. And this doesn't mean running a marathon or working out for 3 to 4 hours each day. It could just mean deciding that you'd like to make a change in your life and take just one step in that direction. Because that one action, that one step can build the momentum to transform your entire life. Because as Robin Sharma, the author, motivational speaker, once put, discipline is built by consistently performing small acts of courage. So think about what is that one small act of courage that you're going to do today? And it could be as simple as loving yourself. Expressing self-love for yourself, for your body, for your mind, for your heart, and the people in your life. So, Leo, we have come to the last round for today. 4 questions, rapid fire round style, so that our listeners can take note and take action. What is the best piece of advice that you have received?
It's going to go. Everything is temporarily.
And if you could turn back time, spend 1 hour with someone living or dead, who would it be?
My first coach. Yeah.
What is that one thing you do in the morning or maybe in the evening that has improved the quality of your life?
cold water when I wake up in the morning. I drink a big glass of water, both religiously.
And what is it one book you'd like to recommend for our listeners tonight?
I'm into both novels and some read Shantaram. Shantaram, it's an Indian novel. But based on a true story, actually, if I'm correct. One of the best books I've read since we're here with you, AJ.
Amazing. Action Tribe, would you like to receive this book, Shantaram, for free? Because you can. Audible.com is offering all of our listeners one free Audible download with a free 30-day trial so that you can get to not only listen to this book, but to check out their other books as well. They've got a huge library online, and you can fit these books because they are downloads on your phone. You can have hundreds of books and listen to a book whenever you are in transit, in the park, or somewhere else. Because listening is the new reading, and this is free. So go to my7chakras.com/freebook, my7chakras.com/freebook, and download Shantaram, because it's a very popular book. I haven't read it myself, but I've heard it recommended numerous times in the past. So Leo, thank you so much for joining us today. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for, and how can we find you online?
Thank you for so first of all, thank you for having me, Jay. Great content. I love your story. I love your protos and your podcast. You're doing a great job, and your listeners are very lucky to have you.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for my daughters. I'm grateful for everything that I have in my life right now. My friends, my family, everything else. I'm a blessed man. And everybody can find me. You can go to at www.leofrincu.com. I got a blog. I got all kind of stuff, freebies, a lot of good stuff. And look me up on Instagram at leofrincu, at Leo, leofrincu.
Awesome. We'll have all those links up in the show notes. Action Tribe, if you enjoyed this episode, if you loved this episode, if you found something new in this episode, then do one thing. Take a screenshot of this episode and tag both me and Leo on Instagram. My handle is at my7chakras, and Leo's handle, you can just search for him, Leo Frinko, and you'll find his handle. But tag both of us so that we can share your story with our communities, because that's how we connect. Apart from that, if you would like to reach out for feedback, comments, observations, or if you'd like a breathwork session with me or with our group, then make sure that you email me, aj@my7chakras.com. aj@my7chakras.com. It really makes me happy to connect with our listeners. It really makes my day. So whether it's writing an iTunes review or joining me in one of my future breathwork sessions, let's become a community. Instead of just being me speaking and you listening, let's really connect and grow together. Leo, thank you so much for joining us on this episode, talking to us about important topics like discipline and courage and resilience and not giving up and being vulnerable and sharing your story and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you so much, AJ. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my7chakras.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.